Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Seifker, so happy and blessed to be here with you today, along with my co-host for life, Rhonda Branham. Thanks for joining us. Well, it was back in 2015 that undercover footage was released by David DeLeiden and his Center for Medical Progress that showed top-level Planned Parenthood officials discussing in graphic detail abortion procedures used to obtain tissue and organs from aborted babies, as well as negotiating prices for body parts. The videos made headlines all over the world and left Planned Parenthood, the nation's largest abortion provider, scurrying to find a way to shift public attention and sympathy from the true victims, the aborted unborn children, to their organization, which they claim has been irreparably harmed from the videos. Now, Planned Parenthood is waging a vindictive battle in federal court against DeLeiden and his associates, who face the possibility of major fines and even prison time should they be convicted, all because they took the lid off of one of the most egregious injustices of our times. We've got lots to talk about today in regards to both the criminal and civil cases going on, but first, let's get started in prayer.
St. Maximilian Kolbe, patron of the pro-life movement, hear this prayer of supplication that we address to you with confidence. St. Maximilian, we honor your life that was guided by the unshakable faith in the mystery of the Incarnation. We admire your public witness for the sanctity of life and your ultimate sacrifice for the life of another when you offered yourself to save a fellow prisoner. We pray, please move the consciences of those contemplating abortion. Please move to repentance and healing the women and men who have chosen abortion over the gift of life. Please intercede for all the unborn children. Pray that their mothers will see, hear, and know that what they carry in their womb is a person, a special and unique gift from God, our Creator. Please comfort the women who suffer from the post-abortion trauma and inspire them to seek spiritual and psychological help. Please sustain the courage and wisdom of the pro-life movement so that they may be peaceful witnesses to the sanctity of life. Please move the hearts of our lawmakers, judges, and fellow citizens so the scourge of abortion will no longer be the law of the land. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now, this week's in the news.
An attempt to legalize abortion for any reason up to the moment of birth is being pushed by Democratic Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Whitmer joined abortion activists this past Tuesday to introduce a set of bills known as the Michigan Reproductive Health Act. The legislation would enable minor teens to have secret abortions without parental consent or knowledge, allow abortion centers to ignore standard health and safety regulations, allow the centers to refuse to provide informed consent, and permit walk-in abortions with no waiting period. Michigan would be following the lead of New York, Illinois, and other states if the bills are passed. Similar legislation is also being considered in Massachusetts as Democratic leaders throughout the country work hard to get their extreme abortion ideology written into law. Also this past Tuesday, a U.S. district judge blocked Alabama's Human Life Protection Act from taking effect. The bill had sought to place a near ban on all abortions throughout the state. The injunction means that Planned Parenthood's new abortion mega center in Birmingham will be opening its doors soon. Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall had said that from the beginning, the bill was set up to be a challenge to Roe v. Wade and its companion case. We intend to submit evidence that supports our argument that Roe and Casey were wrongly decided and that the Constitution does not prohibit states from protecting unborn children from abortion, Marshall said. Planned Parenthood and the ACLU's lawsuit against the legislation will proceed while the injunction is in place. And an abortion worldwide report just released by the Global Life Campaign estimates that 1 billion unborn babies across the world have been killed by abortion in the past 100 years. years. Thomas Jacobson, co-author of the report, said that his organization spent 36 years researching abortion data across the globe and found 1 billion abortions recorded between 1921 and 2015. China ranked first for the number of unborn children killed with approximately 400 million. Russia came in second at 219 million, and the U.S. was third with about 60 million. The researchers also found that 73% of the abortions occurred in communist countries. Cumulative deaths by abortion exceed all deaths by wars and governments and genocides and every other form of death in the 1900s, Jacobson said. The basis of communism is the rejection of God, so in other words, a rejection of the creator of life. There's no basis for the valuing of an individual life within communism, Jacobson added. And this past Thursday, 16 unborn children were killed at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood as sidewalk advocates and prayer partners were on hand in the chilly wind, rain, and snow to reach out with love and hope to the women going in. Three women who had received blessing bags did end up leaving, and advocates were hopeful that they chose life. A group of men spent the night making reparation during the final Thursday of this fall's 40 Days for Life campaign. The campaign ends at 8 p.m. this Sunday, November 3rd, and help is still needed to cover the abortion center in constant prayer. You can go to 40daysforlife.com/Bloomington to view the schedule and to sign up. Have a blessed All Saints and All Souls weekend. And that's your weekly In the News.
Well, Monica, it was on July 14th in 2015 that David DeLayden and the Center for Medical Progress released the first of several undercover videos that showed Planned Parenthood's senior leadership describing the grisly details involved in the harvesting and sale of fetal tissues and organs obtained from aborted unborn babies. Now it is completely legal in this country to donate human organs and tissue, including fetal ones, so long as it's done as a charitable donation and not for profit. And the morality on this subject is a topic for another day. But when DeLayden became convinced that Planned Parenthood was making financial gains from the sale of body parts from aborted babies, he set out to launch an undercover investigation. DeLayden had previously worked for Live Action, so he had learned a thing or two about undercover journalism. He put together a team of talented individuals, and then he and Sandra Merritt, posing as executives of a newly founded fetal tissue procurement company called Biomax, were able to get behind closed doors of Planned Parenthood and the National Abortion Federation to see and record what was going on. The gruesome and startling videos were the end product of their 30-month investigative study.
Well, DeLayden recently did an interview on SiriusXM's Breitbart News Tonight where he described the project, and here's what he said. Planned Parenthood is the biggest abortion business in our country, funded by $500 million in taxpayer money every single year. For decades, Planned Parenthood has been one of the major suppliers of the dismembered body parts of aborted children for various kinds of experimentation. None of it life-saving or contributing to cures, by the way. All of it just basic biological tinkering. Some of it very scary Frankenstein-type stuff. Planned Parenthood has been involved in baby body part experimentations for decades, selling the body parts to middleman wholesaler companies, to big taxpayer-funded government laboratories, and to various biotech companies. We did a very in-depth, long-term, undercover journalism study of Planned Parenthood's participation in the harvesting and sale of late-term aborted baby parts, and that led to many of the really gruesome, shocking, revelatory, and undercover videos documenting top-level Planned Parenthood executives callously haggling and negotiating and talking about the way that they can supply these tiny aborted baby hearts, lungs, livers, and brains like it was just on an assembly line.
And I'm sure we all remember these videos when they came out. They sparked justifiable outrage among seasoned pro-lifers as well as from the general public, not only because Planned Parenthood appeared to be trafficking in unborn human body parts, but because America was once again faced with the reality of abortion and what it looks like. These videos really humanize the unborn person. We watched in horror as medical personnel brazenly picked up, with tweezers, an arm or a leg from an aborted first trimester baby. We heard one abortionist squeal as she announced how teeny tiny the kidneys are for seven-week-old unborn babies. And another one laughed as she looked upon a plate of fetal kidneys and said, "These are good to go." We listened as Planned Parenthood personnel boasted of their skill in obtaining intact fetal cadavers. These videos revealed what actually goes on behind closed doors at abortion centers throughout the country, and it got the pro-life movement fired up, but it also enraged Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, and that's probably an understatement. In that same interview with Breitbart, DeLeiden said, "As you can imagine, like any other big, powerful, and well-funded organization that has some reporting done about it that it doesn't like, Planned Parenthood was not pleased, and they felt really, really threatened." DeLeiden claims that after the videos were released, Planned Parenthood went to the Attorney General of California, at the time Kamala Harris, for help. Planned Parenthood was a big political backer and major donor to Harris. And by the way, Kamala Harris is now running as a Democratic presidential hopeful for 2020. Well, DeLeiden's legal team even had emails documenting this meeting between Harris and six high-ranking Planned Parenthood execs, a rendezvous that took place in Los Angeles in March of 2016, where Planned Parenthood is said to have asked Harris to order a search warrant on the Orange County residence of DeLeiden in order to seize the remaining unreleased video recordings before they could be shown to the public. Harris placated Planned Parenthood by ordering a search warrant on DeLeiden's apartment in April of 2016. DeLeiden's lawyers claim that several of the agents serving the search warrant said that they did not believe they had probable cause to implement it. But with great reluctancy, they fulfilled it. DeLeiden said, "They came in and took everything I had." And then the way was paved to open up a criminal investigation into DeLeiden's work, which seems to have become more of a political witch hunt rather than an authentic criminal investigation.
So let's get into this criminal investigation, Monica, which actually got underway with a preliminary hearing 2 months ago on September 3rd in the very liberal San Francisco Superior Court.
Yeah, and just quickly interjecting something here, Rhonda. Did you see where the National Institute for Reproductive Health just ranked San Francisco as the best city to kill your unborn child?
Yeah, I did.
Crazy.
Well, David DeLeiden and his partner, Sandra Merritt, are being prosecuted by the successor of Kamala Harris, California Attorney General Xavier Becerra. DeLeiden and Merritt are facing 14 criminal felony counts under the California video recording law, which states that one may not record private conversations. These are basically eavesdropping charges, and the case marks the first time that anyone has been charged with such. Now, the criminal proceeding lasted for several weeks, with top Planned Parenthood doctors and other abortion leaders testifying under oath on the witness stand. And in spite of some of these witnesses doing their best to avoid answering difficult and incriminating questions posed by DeLeiden's defense attorneys, a lot of horrifying things were revealed as far as what goes on in the abortion industry. Nonetheless, based on comments made by San Francisco Superior Court Judge Christopher Height, many outsiders are expecting the judge to rule any day now that there was enough evidence presented against DeLeiden and Merritt to bring them to trial. Now, Judge Height had made it clear from the outset of this hearing that he was not interested in any possible wrongdoing that Planned Parenthood might have done. His focus remained purely on finding sufficient probable cause that DeLeiden and Merritt, by taping private and confidential conversations without the consent of those involved, violated California law, and that the pair should be charged with engaging in criminal activity.
Now, during the trial, DeLeiden and his defense team had argued that the Center for Medical Progress's undercover investigation was lawful under the California Shield Law, and that's a law set in place designed to protect citizen journalists. But state prosecutors insisted that DeLeiden and Merritt did not qualify for Shield Law protections because they had never even worked as journalists interest, nor were they acting as such when they went about recording these conversations. Judge Height seems to have agreed and went even further by saying, even assuming DeLeiden was a journalist at the time of the recordings, his actions would not be protected by the California Shield Law or the Federal Privacy Protection Act. While this newfound freedom of information and speech brings about different perspectives and discussions, it does not give either the media or a citizen journalist free rein to violate criminal laws applicable to the general public. Now, some lawyers have agreed with Height's conclusion and said that since DeLeiden was claiming that he was acting as a citizen journalist, he therefore had an obligation to follow the law while conducting his investigations. Some have expressed that his amateur activism, as one constitutional scholar put it, crossed ethical lines as he deceived many people, which allowed him to gain access to the abortion industry trade shows, top-level Planned Parenthood personnel, and tissue procurement companies. But DeLeiden's defense team argued that what is going on behind closed doors in these institutions is a grave act of violence. And in order to bring forth evidence of these violent crimes, this type of investigative reporting was justified and even protected under law. They contended that, rightly interpreted, the California Shield Law does allow for protection when violent crimes are involved and that the public has every right to know what is going on. They also argued that California law does not consider confidential any communication that can reasonably be expected to be overheard, such as exchanges that take place in restaurants. Judge Height, however, did not agree. So bottom line in all of this, David DeLeiden and Sandra Merritt are more than likely going to face a trial by jury for 14 felony counts of eavesdropping, which carries with it a 10-year maximum prison sentence.
And Monica, we are just skimming the surface of all that went on during the criminal hearing. The corruption and evil that undergirds the abortion industry is frightening. And this was even made apparent by how the judge in the case ruled as inadmissible much of what the defense had to offer as evidence. Here is just one quick example. Arguing that California law allows for the recording of private conversations when a whistleblower is trying to gather evidence of violent crimes, DeLeiden's defense attorneys asked for a report to be admitted that showed that DeLeiden had actually filed homicide charges against Planned Parenthood in two California counties and in four states prior to the releasing of his videos. This was done to establish DeLeiden's state of mind as evidence that he believed he was investigating violent felonies. But Judge Height would have nothing to do with it and refused to admit it as evidence. And another heartbreaking thing we learned during the hearing was that Planned Parenthood abortionists are altering their abortion procedures in order to make sure that babies come out with beating hearts so that these can be harvested and sent immediately to the procurement company. Dr. Teresa Deischer was the expert witness who testified to this fact.
Yeah, as you said, Rhonda, there are a lot of things going on in this hearing. So many horrifying facts were revealed. I'll give one more example here. In closing arguments filed by the California Attorney General for the preliminary hearing, the prosecution appeared to argue that killing a fetus born alive after an abortion is not infanticide. The prosecution appealed to the statutory definition that a fetus is not a person, and so does not fit within the meaning of the murder statute. Now remember, part of DeLeiden's defense is resting on the premise that he and Merritt did not need the consent of those being recorded in confidential communications because they were investigating violent crimes against a person. The prosecution is saying there aren't any violent crimes to report because there is no person involved. If a fetus is targeted for abortion but happens to be born alive, it's still a fetus and not a person, they're saying. So you're free to harvest organs and tissues while the now-born fetus's heart is beating. This is the sad and demented state of affairs that we've gotten ourselves into, and it's Nazi Germany all over again.
Okay, so this criminal case against DeLeiden and Merritt is not the only one they are having to defend themselves against. There is also a civil case that is going on right now, too. At this point, Monica, a quick explanation of how our American legal system is set up to deal with wrongdoings that people commit is in order. There are two different avenues for grievances to be addressed, civil and criminal. Now, crimes are generally offenses against the state, even if the immediate harm is done to an individual. So, for example, even though one person murders another person, murder itself is a crime and is considered an offense to everyone in society. Thus, the prosecutor of the state, and not the victim, files the case in court as a representative of the state. Now, in a civil case, however, disputes between individuals regarding the legal duties and responsibilities they owe to one another are evaluated. These cases are judged through what are known as civil lawsuits and are brought by the victim and not the state. Civil cases generally result in monetary damages or orders to do or to not do something. Criminal cases, on the other hand, generally have greater consequences and have the possibility of jail time along with fines. Here are another couple of differences as well. Crimes must generally be proved beyond a reasonable doubt, whereas civil cases have what might be termed as lower standards of proof. Civil cases use the term the preponderance of evidence, which means that it was more likely than not that something happened in a certain way. Also, criminal cases are almost always a trial by jury. Most civil cases are decided by a judge, but a jury is allowed in some instances.
And this is good information to have so that we can better understand what's going on in this legal battle that we're talking about here. Dalyden is being sued by the state and separately by Planned Parenthood. Okay, so back in January of 2016, about a year and a half after the videos had been released, Planned Parenthood and the National Abortion Federation filed this federal civil lawsuit against Dalyden and his fellow undercover investigators. Of course, they wanted to totally shut down the investigation into their involvement in the trafficking of unborn baby tissues and organs, and to discourage anyone else who might like to try their hand at shining a light into this dark business. Now, this federal civil jury trial finally got underway on September 30th in the San Francisco Federal District Court. Judge William Orrick III, who has been shown to have ties with Planned Parenthood, is the presiding judge. Now, he did do something of significance back in July in regards to this case. Originally, Planned Parenthood was asking for $20 million in damages from Dalyden and his associates, saying that the Center for Medical Progress was running a smear campaign against them and that the videos had incited threats and violence against their organization and its personnel. Fortunately, Judge Orrick downsized the lawsuit to just under $100,000, excluding from the case all damages that stemmed from any third party's reactions to the release of the videos. So that was a victory for First Amendment rights.
So on day one of the civil trial, Judge Orrick instructed the jury in these words, "This case is not about the truth of whether plaintiffs profited from the sale of fetal tissue or otherwise violated the law in securing tissue for those programs. Those issues are a matter of dispute between the parties in the world outside this courtroom." So right away, Judge Orrick is telling the jury, you can't look over there, and you must look over here. That's the same thing that Judge Height was saying, too. You might happen to see all kinds of graphic and gruesome images and even some possible trafficking in body parts, but just disregard that and pay attention to whether or not the defendants broke the privacy laws when they are doing their recordings. Planned Parenthood's lead trial attorney told the jury in the opening statement that this case is about an attempt to destroy Planned Parenthood using any means. And in Dalyden's defense, one of the Center for Medical Progress's lawyers told the jury, this case is about undercover reporting, the First Amendment, the rights of ordinary citizens to expose unethical and potentially illegal conduct on the part of large and powerful corporations.
Yeah, like a David and Goliath, if you'll pardon the pun there.
Yeah.
Well, right out of the gate, Judge Orrick was doing his best to limit anything that the jury might hear in regards to the gruesome nature of what DeLeiden and Merritt were involved with recording. He would frequently cut off any line of questioning that might give the jury any idea of the depth of the violence involved that made DeLeiden and Merritt pursue this type of undercover work. At Planned Parenthood's request, Judge Orrick refused to allow the defense to show the jury the exact video conversations that Planned Parenthood is suing for. The Center for Medical Progress even commented on this, saying, "It is the jury's job to assess whether the conversations are private or confidential under applicable state law. Yet Planned Parenthood and Judge Orrick are barring the actual recordings of these conversations from the courtroom." So the defense team for DeLeiden and Merritt are seriously shackled and are not permitted to show key evidence in their defense. Now, there was one exception to this early on in the trial. That came when Planned Parenthood attorneys were examining their witness, Dr. Deb Nakatola. Part of her testimony inadvertently opened up the door for the defense team to show a portion of a video.
That's right, Monica. Now, this is the famous abortionist who, in the very first video released in July of 2015 by CMP, described how she would crush above and crush below in order to obtain intact organs. So what happened was that the defense lawyer for Sandra Merritt used Dr. Nakatola's own words on the stand to allow the video to be played. The attorney said that if Planned Parenthood would stipulate that the conversation that took place in that restaurant included sensitive and confidential subjects that could be overheard by third parties, then the video would not need to be shown. Well, Planned Parenthood refused to stipulate, so Judge Orrick permitted the video to be played. This was necessary so that the jury could see the folly of saying that these types of conversations that took place in public, where basically anyone could hear what was being said, were private and therefore could not be recorded.
Of course, showing this video had other ramifications as well, because we hear Dr. Nakatola saying, "So then you're just kind of cognizant of where you put your graspers. You try to intentionally go above and below the thorax. We've been very good at getting heart, lung, liver, because I'm not going to crush that part. I'm going to basically crush below, I'm going to crush above, and I'm going to see if I can get it all intact." And so on and so on, with all these gruesome descriptions of how she performs abortions in order to get intact specimens. Well, those present in the courtroom took note of how the jury was visibly moved by Nakatola's words as she munched on salad, sipped some wine, and casually and openly talked about killing an unborn child in the most beneficial way possible so as not to crush any organs destined for procurement. We'll have to see if this ends up being a factor in the jury's decision. A couple of other comments worth mentioning by DeLeiden and Merritt's defense team is that Planned Parenthood's witnesses are allowed to gush over how great and wonderful the organization is and how it helps poor people and saves lives through cancer screenings. Also, Planned Parenthood is allowed to keep hammering away with the lie that these videos have been edited and are therefore deceptive and misleading. All the while, the defense team is prohibited from playing the full-length videos to counter this. And finally, Judge Orrick is agreeing to redact parts of the Center for Medical Progress documents that reveal the ghastly nature of fetal organ harvesting. One such example is when a photo of a little fetal heart hooked up to a Langendorf machine was removed from evidence. That heart was harvested while the baby was still alive.
Well, again, we are just hitting the tip of the iceberg in this significant civil trial that is seeing an organization that kills one unborn child every 97 seconds, accusing those who were gathering evidence of their violent crimes of criminal conspiracy themselves. It's just the kind of insane and upside-down world we live in. 12 jurors in one of the most liberal districts in the country will decide whether undercover journalists Sandra Merritt and David DeLeiden and three other associates committed 15 crimes, ranging from breach of contract to racketeering, while carrying out their project. The civil trial is expected to last until at least November 8th, and we'll be keeping you updated. David DeLeiden's lawyer told all pro-lifers to pray for the defendants and the legal team as the trial continues at a fast and furious pace, and to pray for the Planned Parenthood attorneys, too. Hopefully the good Lord will touch their hearts. Pray for the judge, the jury, everybody involved in the process. Pray for Justice. And we'll add in, pray too for David DeLeiden, Sandra Merritt, and their defense lawyers who have given countless hours in building a case to defend these two heroes who were trying to expose the horrifying world of trafficking in the human organs and body parts of aborted children.
Well, we'll be finding out in the weeks ahead just how all of this is going to play out in both the criminal and civil cases, and whether Planned Parenthood can be successful in not only crushing the bodies of unborn babies, but also anyone who tries to expose what goes on behind their closed doors. Let's pray much for the conversion of all involved. We hope that by remembering what these videos revealed, you will be convicted to do even more to help end abortion. Thanks so much for joining us today. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with a desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.